Felger and Mass.
Little sport dork orgy. So sporty.
Oh, yeah.
So sporty.
Oh, yeah.
Sports and sports and sports.
Oh, yeah.
Sports in your face.
Oh, yeah.
Sports.
Felger and Mass.
Awesome.
Oh, yeah.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
Shotgun snap to Brady. Retreats in the pocket. Off his back foot. Throws toward the end zone. Left side. Caught by White. What a throw as Brady hits the deck. On target to James White for the touchdown Patriots.
That's a Tom Brady I know. And that's a Tom Brady that we love. A guy that will stare down. A free blitzer. Take the shot. Fall on his left shoulder. Get drilled. But deliver a strike. And cut your throat in the back left corner of that end zone. 14-yard dagger by Tom Brady off a free blitzer. And sweet feet White in the back corner. Start the buses, boys. Start the buses.
Thought we got what we needed from our team today. Players, coaches, did a great job this week. Coaching staff. A lot of good leadership from our players, and they responded today. Got contributions from pretty much everybody, every unit, every phase of the team. That's what we need, what we needed. And give them all the credit. We made enough plays to win in all the areas. And now we're looking at a short week here. Going to go back and try to do it again. But good to see our team respond the way they did today. Thought they really played hard, played well. Hopefully we can do it again.
All right, there. Everybody's feeling good off that win yesterday over the Dolphins. You impressed, Maz?
Nope. Absolutely not. And look, I said this to you in the email exchange this morning because apparently I'm going to be the a-hole today. I mean, that's just the way it goes. Sometimes you're the a-hole. Sometimes Murray's the a-hole. Today, I'm the a-hole. So let me tell you up front. Did that game have more to do with the Patriots playing exceptionally well or Miami playing exceptionally poorly?
I don't even know how the Patriots played. How could you tell?
Miami was garbage in this game. Absolutely, positively garbage. And when I say that, I talk about the Patriots at the beginning of the game. The Patriots are better in the middle of the game and certainly after halftime, but by then it was over anyway. But really, when you look at it, were the Patriots good early in this game?
I really can't tell.
First third down play of the game, incomplete, they're ready to punt, they get a phantom penalty call, so good for them, they keep the ball, they get down. Then they have first and goal to three, but they can't get a touchdown. So they end up with a field goal. So after all that, they got a lucky call, they got first and goal on the three, all they could get was 3 points out of it. Then on their second third down, Brady threw a pick. Okay, so now you're two possessions into the game, and I haven't seen much execution from the offense whatsoever there in the early part of the game. Then the third down of the game, Miami blows a coverage, and Cordero Patterson carries one into the end zone. Fine, felt like a fluky play to me, but whatever, nonetheless, touchdown is a touchdown. Then they had another one. The next possession, they benefited. Tannehill fumbled. They get the ball on the 20-yard line. One play, touchdown, there you go, run away.
More defensive pressure from the Patriots on that fumble.
But no credit to the Patriots' defense at all in this game.
Patriots' defense was actually pretty decent, Murray. The defensive line was much better in this game than in the Detroit game. I give them all the credit in the world up front. I actually think even the linebackers played better in this game. I'm not saying great, but they played better. Miami couldn't run the ball, and that was a factor because their quarterback blows. Their quarterback really sucks. I'm just telling you that from an execution. Look, here's what I'll tell you. The Patriots showed up with energy. I think it was apparent from the beginning that they had more energy than they did in Detroit.
Well, especially defensively, yeah.
Absolutely true, no question about it. But execution offensively, I don't think it was there in the early part of the game. And I think they benefited because Miami sucked. Miami couldn't do anything with the ball. And all those fast weapons that Miami has, I don't remember seeing any of them. I mean, to me, it felt like the Patriots kind of slapped them around a little bit, and that was the end of the Miami speed game. The thing I'll give the Patriots credit for, they haven't done is they stopped the run.
Well, I think they controlled the line of scrimmages on both sides.
Absolutely. Absolutely, they did. Their line play was way better on both sides.
They won up front on both sides dramatically. Absolutely dramatically. But again, it's just sort of hard to tell because Miami did not show up. Miami's not that bad. You know, this is one of these things where I think people get caught in this trap of either the team sucks or they don't. And that's sort of in a vacuum. Well, it's also sort of how you play. Like, Detroit played really well for them 2 weeks ago. Jacksonville played an excellent ball game the week before that. Miami, they may be a middle-of-the-road NFL team. I'm not sure Miami sucks. Yesterday, they had a horrible day.
Oh, God, they were wretched.
Horrible.
I mean,
horrible
they were
day to
really
the
bad.
To the point where I can't really tell what you were. I mean, it all looked great. The margin was there. The points were there. But Mass just sort of laid it out. I mean, a couple early calls. Miami puts the ball on the ground again. They don't show up. I mean, I don't know. How do you really know?
Well, you think from the first pass of the game, it's a 22-yard pass to Kenny Stills that's on a postage stamp. So I was like, oh, God, here we go. And I've been all over the defense, and I thought that they were great yesterday. Like Maz said, they played with more energy. But you have to give them credit, though, for putting them and putting Ryan Tannehill in uncomfortable situations, third and eight, third and long, where he's at his worst because he stares down his first option, and then it's pat, 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 check down, time and time again. And Zoe was talking about that in the broadcast, and he's right. Now, that's because Tannehill does suck when he gets uncomfortable, but credit to the defense for putting them in that situation time and again.
Defense was much better. They were much better up front. There's no question about it. They won at the line of scrimmage. But I knew I was in trouble. And again, I say me because I'm one of those who just, oh, I don't know, likes a competitive game with some pushback and a back and forth. I don't know. Just call me dumb. But the first Dolphins possession where they get, right, 17 yards to Stills or whatever it is. Then they get a holding penalty in their second and 17. And then they handed it off. They handed it off up the middle, and then ran a little screen. And I said, "Uh oh, they're afraid." I can tell already they're afraid. Tight booty syndrome. You can't come in here and play conservatively. You may be able to get away with it at home if you're Miami or you're in Detroit or Jacksonville like that. You know, I've seen that happen, but very few teams come in here and play conservatively and win. And at that very first time, I said, "Uh oh, they're not ready to do what they need to do to win this ball game." That you just chucked it 17 yards down the field. Now you're afraid of a second and 17. You hand it off and then throw a little bubble screen because you're afraid. Uh-oh. So,
well, and that's the thing. They should have done it the other way around.
So, look, for me, it's going to sound like I'm ripping the team. I'm not. It's not like I'm unimpressed. I just don't know how impressed to be because the opponent didn't show up. It's just another one of these games. How many have we had over the years? So many of these where some AFC East bozo team comes in, doesn't show up, and you roll, and it's like, well, what did that really prove? Well, what do I know about anybody when it comes to that? So, I mean, let me just ask you individually, are you impressed or are you not impressed? Cordell Patterson, you impressed or not impressed?
Not impressed.
I am not impressed with
okay,
him.
Still, because yeah, I don't know, felt like, oh, he had a breakout, you know, that was his welcome to New England game or New England welcome to New England moment.
No, he's a klutz.
I mean, the play of the game with him was the one Murray's talking about. He caught that pass and then fell flat on his ass. It was way worse than the one in Houston because he was, in the one against Houston, he was off balance a little bit. This one, he tried to move and just fell on his ass. It was unbelievable. It was unbelievable. How uncoordinated can you be? That was horrendous, that play.
Cordell Patterson, spare me on the Patterson stuff. Patterson emerges, is coming up. Would you stop? I'm with you. Unimpressed. Spare me. Dante Hightower, impressed or not impressed?
Not impressed.
Impressed. He looked better.
He's still not moving right. I mean, he's in the middle of the field. I know that he's tough and he can, you know, stick his head in there and collide with somebody. My issue is, can he chase people down?
I haven't looked at the film, but boy, I mean, they went up front. So he had, you know, the tackle for the loss. Like, he's in there because they were so, I think, in control up front. That
at least he showed up. I mean, these first 3 weeks, he looked like a shell of himself.
So how often was he chasing? I'm sorry, Murray. How often was he chasing?
Not often.
You know, past the line of scrimmage.
Not often. Because they didn't make him. But, you know, there were, a couple of times I saw him step up and plug holes and make tackles. But that's it. I know he can. And the other thing is he's getting all this praise for putting people in the right place, which, again, I'm okay with that part of it. Like, if that's the role he's going to have on the defense, then that's fine. He didn't really make a ton of plays in that game yesterday.
Impressed or not impressed, Dorsett?
Not impressed, actually. I'm not going to, just because he made that somersault touchdown, the one that really bothered me.
Whee! Oh, he did a somersault. Whee!
Well, that was just the momentum, so let's not make too much out of that. The one that bugged me was the deep ball to him that, you know, Zoe was saying might have been his best ball of the year so far, and it clangs off his hands. I'm still not impressed with Dorsett.
Catch the ball. I'll say this, though, with him. I don't want to say impressed, but I don't want to say unimpressed. He's got a spot on the team.
He's a week-to-week player.
He's a reasonably useful player.
I still think they have a little something there. I think he's going to show. If he's healthy, he's going to be in the mix, which I'll take. All I want. Were both interceptions intended for him? Not that they were his fault. I think put them both
on. The first one definitely was.
The first one definitely was. Was the second one, was that Dorsett? And again,
I think it was.
Yeah. I don't blame him. But I'm just, I don't know, make note. You know, Brady trying to force it into Dorsett over the middle, throws two picks. Josh Gordon, impressed or not?
Impressed.
You know what? Actually, I was reasonably impressed.
How could you be? He ran two routes.
Yeah, but I'll tell you what. He caught a ball in traffic. He broke a tackle. Like, there was some passion there. Like, so I thought he tried. There was, if he can give him that every week, I think it's enough.
It was, for me, it was
two slants for 30 yards?
Yeah. The second one was the one that I was really impressed with because he showed the physicality. He broke out of two tackles there. Like, well, again, if he's engaged, the kid's a beast.
I think on both he showed physicality.
He did, yeah, because on the first catch that he made, it was traffic and he had a guy all over his back.
Look, you know me, I love a receiver that goes over the middle. I think that's, to me, a defining characteristic of those receivers that I like. Are you tough enough to go over the middle and catch the ball and take the shots and, you know, play in there? So if he wants to play in there, great. He played 18 snaps. He basically ran, I mean, he ran two slants with the catches. He got a PI on and out, and I missed his fourth play, whatever it was. But I think he ran like, you know, it ain't like he's catching up or anything.
No, no, but I'll tell you what. It looks to me like he can catch the ball in traffic, and he's not afraid of contact. And so I'll tell you what. I'll take it. For 18 plays, I'll take it. I didn't mind it.
Impressed or not impressed? Now the one that really matters.
Yep.
Sony Michel.
Nope.
Impressed.
Not impressed.
Maz, not even close.
Not impressed.
Maz, just,
here's my point,
let me do,
Murray.
Let me just
so hold on, hold on. Let's do us all a favor and save Jimmy because this is gonna go on a little bit. Sony Michel. What did we learn about Sony Michel yesterday? We'll pick that up with your phone calls at 617-779-0985 right after this.
This is Felger and Maz
on 98.5
The Sports Hub.
Boys and girls, I'm here today to present an exciting opportunity for togetherness.
Felger and Maz.
That's awesome.
Of course it is.
That's great.
98.5 The Sports Hub.
First and 10 for the Pats as Brady gives it to Michel. Makes a man miss at the 35, across the 40, beyond the 45. And Sony is double-teamed and brought down at midfield by Kiko Alonso. And a second defender for the Dolphins coming over as well. It appeared to be Micah Fitzpatrick. But good running by Sony Michel.
That's a heck of a run right there getting the daylight. Our 2-6 show on 98.5 The Sports Hub should feel pretty good about the rookie running back. 23-yard scamper, makes the safety miss, runs through contact. I'm telling you, he's a better runner against the first time he hits contact. He knows how to get through contact.
Impressed by Sony Michel yesterday, Maz?
No, I wasn't. And the numbers are good. Don't get me wrong. I thought the performance yesterday by Michel and Murray, I know you're going to counter, but I feel like the performance yesterday about Michel was really more about the offensive line. There was more room to run. I don't remember many plays. There were a couple of runs that stuck out to me with Michel, but I don't remember many plays where he made it happen. Like, and this is my point. I'm not saying the guy's a total bum. I never said that. What I said was, I don't see the first round talent. And to me, I didn't see anything yesterday that you couldn't have got from a guy in the fourth round. That's all. There was nothing there that made me go, ooh, wow, look at that guy. He's a game breaker. I didn't see it. I still don't see it.
Yeah, but I prematurely tweeted about him last week saying he stinks because I'm the kind of fan. I'm overdramatic. I'm demanding, drastic. And so I was like, this kid stinks. But he showed yesterday, at least has the ability to get behind a blocker. He can lower his shoulder. He can get yards after contact. He showed that for one run in Jacksonville, and obviously last week was god-awful. But yesterday, it showed that the kid can play. He looked more confident. He looked like it's going to get better week to week, because I think that ultimately what we saw those first couple of weeks is that
I don't know how you're drawing all those conclusions.
He had a good day. He looked good. He was more confident. There wasn't east to west like you saw last week. It was like, kid,
because there was no one there. There was no one. Go back and look at some of these runs, folks, and Murray. And do it if you have Maz's app or, you know, we showed him on TV last night. There were so many runs where he had 8 yards, sometimes 10.
All he had to do was run straight ahead. The touchdown's a perfect example. I know they're showing that on the simulcast right now with the stills of it.
Watch the touchdown. Watch some of these runs from the end zone cameras.
Brandon Bolden could have scored on that touchdown.
I was just going to say, did Brandon Bolden would have had 100 yards yesterday. Whoever you handed it to was going to have 100 yards yesterday. James White averaged 5.5 yards a carry. It made no difference who the running back was.
So I was just going to say, what was the best run of the game, Murray?
It was James White.
James White's touchdown run.
Yeah.
So Michel didn't even have the best run of the game.
Even that was overrated. All he did was cut left, and that guy goes ass over tea kettle. It's like, oh my God, look at they hit the B button. Like, there's nothing. The Dolphins weren't ready to play. They weren't in the game. Like, people act like he was Barry Sanders on that, James White. But whatever, James White averaged 5.5 yards a carry. Whoever you handed the ball to was going to get 5 yards a carry. There was no one there.
Yeah, but comparing it to last week, where he looked tentative and looked like the speed of the game was too much for him, comparatively speaking, the kid was really good yesterday.
He was better.
Where it was due.
Yes, yes, he was absolutely better. He still didn't play like a first round pick. Like that's the part.
Well, what
I'm
more
stuck
would you
on.
Want? Like, what's a first round pick?
I'm just telling you that performance that you got yesterday, you could have got from a guy in the fifth round. And I'm sorry, the first round pick, you used it on that. You're telling me you couldn't get that somewhere else?
Well, so look, this is where I'd stop short of Maz. Like, I mean, I just don't like drafting running backs in the first round. I don't care if it's Barry Sanders. I'm just not drafting that player there. So I'm still against the pick, but I'm not writing off the whole player. He may turn out to be good. And if he turns out to be good, I still don't like the pick. Yeah, the last 3 years.
Well, you're a backist. We know that.
Well, yeah, you don't need him. You know, you can get those guys anywhere. So it's a bad pick no matter what he turns into. I mean, really, pretty much. Unless he gets, you know, stupid good and lasts a stupid long time, then maybe I'll turn around on that. But if he's just a, you know, generic good running back, a big deal. You know, in the second and the fourth, you can do that off the street.
He had 3 runs in a row yesterday on the first possession. Then went for 9, 13, and 14. Okay, Michelle did. The rest of the game was 22 for 76. I mean, is that like, is that world-beating kind of stuff? Like, I just think he's been so bad at the beginning that he actually looked like a functional running back in this game that all of a sudden everybody wants to put him into Canton.
Okay, folks, your thoughts, 617-779-0985. Joe and Revere, what do you got for Maz?
Hey, Maz.
Yes, Joe.
Give the guy a break. It's only been his fourth game into the season?
That's correct.
He's give him a break. He'll be all right.
Okay, Maz, give him a break.
Yeah, no, listen, again, I'm not sitting here telling you he blows. I'm just telling you that I didn't see anything extraordinary out of the backfield yesterday, at least from him.
I'm fair. If he's really making guys miss and hitting yards that aren't there, I'll say it. I mean, Deion Lewis did it routinely. And again, I thought you should have re-signed him. Again, it's just a running back.
Deion Lewis did it yesterday.
Right. So, but I mean, you could see, like, he got yards that weren't there. Sony Michel, I didn't really see it. There was one run. It was right up the gut. And maybe that was the one Zoe was just talking about there. I'm not sure. But he got to the second level and he broke out of a tackle. And he picked up about another, I don't know what it was, 5, 6, 7 yards where he had a, you know, he clearly broke out of the tackle. I said, okay, there he just gave me something that Brandon Bolden wouldn't have. But everything else? Come on. Go back and watch it and tell me the first time a defender comes into his field, he's 8 yards down the field already. Billy and Waltham, your thoughts on the game? Billy, you're up. Okay, babe, you can call us back when you're ready. You know the number. Pat on Cape Cod. Hi, Pat.
Hey, how you doing, guys?
Good.
Listen, I agree with you about the offensive line and the defensive line. They took over. No doubt about that. But what you have to remember is the Patriots were able to play 7 and 8 men deep to stop the passing game because they couldn't run on the Patriots. So that's why it's so important that if there's 3 or 4 men up front, you got to get a running game going. Well, that's what the Patriots did. They ran for 175 yards.
The Pats could do whatever they wanted in this game, Pat. They could do whatever they wanted. Did the Pats get their passing game going because they established the run?
No.
I mean, you just mentioned it. In the early going, what was the passing game? The first series, they should have been off the field, but there was just this hellacious phantom flag yesterday on that first series. Okay, so that extended that drive, and you still didn't punch it in, even though you were at the 3-yard line. The second possession, you threw an interception. So it's like, I don't know. And then the game was over, and you could do whatever you wanted. I don't feel like it was one of those games. I'm not giving the Patriots much on this. I'm not ripping them like they sucked. I'm just telling you, I don't really know what they did because the quality of the competition yesterday was so wretched, just like week one. You can't really tell what you are when a team shows up and plays like that.
No, and then again, when it was 10-0, the Dolphins did exactly what the Texans did, which is they put the ball on the ground for you on their own 20-yard line early in the game. Nobody touched the guy. They literally just put the ball on the ground. They placed it there and let you jump on it.
We've got John in Arlington. Hi, John. How you doing?
Hi, good, thanks. You know, I think you got to cut Michelle a little bit of slack here. You know, 3 weeks he's played, no preseason, tough, tough playbook. Patriots are known for the complexities. But by the same token, 22 of 76, ain't hey, he couldn't get, Mason and Cannon gave him nothing to do over on the right side. He did all his work on the left side. And another question, why can't James Devlin get more touches with or without Michelle? The guy's a good running back.
Well, he is. He's a good blocker.
He's a good blocker. I mean, everybody calm down.
Good job. Yeah, I mean, they could have handed it to him yesterday, and he might have gotten close to 100 yards.
He would have.
I mean, he was out there too. Both of them.
They maul. And again, I didn't.
Devlin and Michelle are running out there on the edge looking for someone.
And I didn't even know this until I heard it during the game. But apparently, Miami lost its two best run players on defense the week before, so I didn't know that. And because Miami's run numbers against on defense were pretty good coming into the game, but the Patriots dominated. They did. They dominated the line of scrimmage. They controlled both sides. And to me, I was happy to see the defensive line do that. Like that, I was happy to see that they were able to stop the run and play some defense. Good, that's a good sign. But Miami was wretched in this game. Wretched.
Andro in Cumberland. Hi, Andro. I'm sorry, Ando.
Hey, what's happening?
Go ahead, Ando.
Hey, listen, Maz, if I could make my voice as squeaky and annoying as yours, I would, but I can't. But I don't know how you come across thinking that you can determine how good a first-round draft pick is. This guy's been playing as good as he can, and all of a sudden, he doesn't establish a first-round draft pick in your eyes. Who the hell are you? You can't even friggin' go as the Red Sox. You can't even friggin' establish who the Red Sox are good.
Well, who the hell are you?
You're a scrub.
Well, who are you, Ando? What are you? You a starter? Oh, he dropped. Well, who the hell are any of us?
No, I'm a scrub. And I would tell him that you're right, I am. I'm sorry if I come off as, I sound like Charlie Casserly or something like that. I hate to bum you out. Or who was the jackass with the Colts? What was his name?
Yeah, Polian. Yeah.
Bill Polian. Okay, so I'm not an evaluator of talent. I'm just telling you that for a running back to be taken in the first round, I don't know. Just in my head, I'm thinking you got to be Todd Gurley. You got to be big, fast, catch it, steamroll people, and outrun them. You've got to be an absolute force to be taken that high in the draft. This kid, I'm not telling you he's a bad player. I'm not telling you he's a bum. I'm just telling you that what he did yesterday was less about him and more about the offensive line.
That part I agree with. I'm not telling you what he is or isn't going to be. We'll see. Time will tell on that. I just know you can't use yesterday to say, see? I mean, if you're doing that, go back and watch it. Then go back and actually watch it. And I get the sense, it's occurred to me, you nerds get extra points if your running back gets 100 yards, right?
Yes.
So it's like...
No fantasy players.
I bet a lot of you guys didn't even watch it. Like, or you didn't even see it. Like, you didn't even pay attention to the fact that there was no one there to tackle him for 10 yards down the field on a lot of his runs. But, wee! How many extra points did you get for the 100-yard game?
I'm telling you, the touchdown run, all he was missing was a blanket and a baby stroller. Because that was a walk in the park, that touchdown run.
This is the problem with the running back position. People play fantasy football, think it's real football. All right, we will continue with your Patriots thoughts all day long, but I do want to mix in a fair amount of baseball. The Red Sox close out their season yesterday. They're heading into the playoffs. Get your temperature on them heading into the postseason. Get your thoughts on, the format in Major League Baseball. We have two playoff games today, but they're not elimination games. So what exactly are we doing here in the National League with these two... I don't even know what to call them. They're not play-in games. They're not playoff games. What are they?
They're called tiebreakers.
Okay, so we'll get to that right after Murray's update. Don't go anywhere.
Stay tuned for more Felger and Mass on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Making sense of Boston sports.
There's no catching and no throwing. Anyone can play, no matter how hopelessly unathletic they are.
Felger and Mass, 98.5 The Sports Hub.
And the 2-2. Swung on and hit in the air to left field. It is high. It is far. It is gone. Out onto Lansdowne Street. He achieves the goal. His 100th RBI. It is a Stantonian home run. Giancarlo. Uno si posto palo. And the Yankees take an 8-2 lead.
And luckily, that landed in the monster seats. They threw it back, and Phil Nevin picked it up. He knows what RBI it is. And they threw it into the Yankee dugout to give to Stanton.
That's great. That's terrific.
I don't think I've seen that before where it hits the guy who hits the home run.
Pretty good aim. He throws it back, and he actually hits Stanton with the ball as he's rounding second. What an arm! Sign him up!
Not sure they're going to sign him up, AJ. I think they may throw him out.
So that was my favorite Red Sox moment from the weekend. Stan hits a home run.
Mine too.
Stan hits a home run for different reason. Red Sox fan chucks it back on the field and hits him rounding second. That was amazing.
Kid did have a gun.
That was fantastic. Never seen that before. That was amazing. So anyway, you got the Red Sox heading into the postseason. Maz, what's your temperature of the team? How do you feel about them?
So here's how I am with the Red Sox right now. They won 108 games, 108 and 54, exactly two out of every three games they won this year, right? 667 winning percentage, off the charts, phenomenal number. So how come I don't know what to expect come Friday? And really, you could almost go to a man, particularly on the pitching staff. Like, I look at Mookie Betts, I feel good about Mookie Betts. And I would say overall, I feel good about J.D. Martinez. And for the most part, the positional roster, although the infield's got me a little uncomfortable, but nonetheless. The pitching staff, I have no clue what's coming Friday. None. Whether it's Sale, whether it's Price, whether it's Kimbrel, you know, Matt Barnes, go right up and down the list. I have no clue what's coming. So that, to me, that's hard to have confidence in. Like, it would just be nice if you could look at one guy in that staff. You know, like, I give you the easy, obvious one, like if they had Schilling in 04, and you could say, I know what he's going to give him if he's healthy. I know. You know, I know what Schilling's big games. I know what the track record is. I know all of it. They don't have anything like that.
No,
and that scares the hell out of me.
And it should. If you're just basing it on the last handful of starts, and it would be nice to see this team look like a 108-win team over the last couple of weeks, but they haven't. The one guy it looks like you can trust is Nathan Eovaldi. Like, do we know what the hell's going on with Chris Sale? Has he fixed whatever the mechanic issue was, the mechanical issue was? You know, are his hips fixed? You know, based on how he looked and how that velocity was down, I don't know how you can't be alarmed there.
Did you care that they won yesterday? Was that a good thing that they didn't get swept, you know?
I think so.
I mean, not really. I mean, maybe a little psychological benefit of going in with a win.
Do you know who it spares?
The Jones fans?
The fans.
Oh, yeah.
The fans.
Because they would have had a losing record against every playoff team?
Well, they would have had to listen to the likes of you, like, you know, getting swept in your last weekend series against New York. You have a losing record against all four playoff teams. Exactly. You finished 10-9 against New York instead of, what would have been flipped. So just the fans having to hear that and sort of add to their weight. But I don't know if it matters at all. Does it matter to the guys on the field, do you think?
No, I don't think so, no. I mean, again, you might be able to say there's a little benefit there. If you come off a win, you're feeling a little bit better for a couple of days, and then there you go. But I don't think it carries into Friday. To me, it's all going to come down to the top of the first on Friday. Well, let's see what Sale looks like. Let's see. And again, he's supposed to be thrown over at the ballpark today. I don't think there's any access over there, so I don't know if they let anybody in or not. For all I know, he's already thrown. He might have thrown at 8 o'clock this morning. Like, but to me, that's the part that I find unsettling. I don't know what's coming on Friday.
All right.
As good as they were this year, I don't know what's coming Friday.
How do you feel about the format? We got two tiebreaker games. Thank you, Murray. They're not play-ins. They're not playoffs. They're tiebreaker games. And I'll tell you, even though it's benefited my team, I guess you could say, I think it's stupid they're playing these games. Stupid. And let me tell you why. I like the wild card format, right? Like, I think it's one of the best things that's happened in sports, in any sport, in years. These one-game playoffs have been tremendous. They've added a great level of drama, elimination games, urgency, and some years, these two wild card games are the best nights in the entire year in the sport. I mean, they're just phenomenal. I love them. And I love that the baseball people are like, well, how do you play 162 and only settle it in one? Because you played enough games. That's why. And they should shorten all these series. In baseball, less is more. All these sports need less is more. There should be less in the NBA playoffs. Those first two rounds are a joke. In the NHL, the first two rounds are not a joke. But that thing lasts so long that by the time you get to the end of it, it's like, okay, you guys have played enough hockey by now. Like, all these sports need less is more. So baseball goes to those one-game play-ins, tremendous. Less is more. But this, all four of these teams are in the playoffs. So you're not eliminating anybody. All you're doing is determining whether you're in the DS or you're playing that play-in game.
So how would you want them to settle it? Rochambeau for it?
Do you know what? I mean, they'll never, ever do this, but this
is head-to-head?
I mean, it should be head-to-head. And, you know, there's 19 games, and one team has more home games than the other, so it's a little unfair. But, oh, well, if 19 games isn't enough to determine who should win a 162-game season, then I'm sorry. We will do Rochambeau. My idea was whoever plays the quicker games.
What do you mean by that?
Time of game?
Average time of game for the team. If you play a quicker game than the opponent, you win the tiebreaker. And like, in Felger world, that's what I would do.
So I'll tell you what. This is
can I just finish what the problem with this is?
Go.
Okay, so this is not an elimination game. So for all four of these teams are all in the exact same spot, where if you lose, you play tomorrow in the wild card game. So it's like, do you empty the bucket here? or do you save all your bullets for tomorrow? And like the Brewers and the Cubs now are in a perfect example of this. It's the bottom of the sixth inning. It's 1-1. And now the Brewers are going to, you know, the Brewers have an Andrew Miller type player. It's a Hader, the middle reliever, the racist.
Yes.
Who throws two innings. Like he's just, you know, an incredible weapon. Do you burn him here in a 1-1 game? Because if he doesn't come through or you lose this ball game, he's not going to be right tomorrow. Your closer. Do you bring your closer out in a 4-out save here to win this game? Because if he happens to blow it and you don't win, then you're without your closer tomorrow, or he's, you know, severely limited tomorrow in the game you really need. What do you do?
Okay, so that's the part I like about it.
So I agree with you there. Like, that makes it interesting.
I think you do use him because you want to try, even if you end up blowing it, but you want to try to get to be the division winner so you guarantee yourself at least a series.
See, I think
so you don't, but you don't guarantee Jack.
No, I know, but if you win it, you feel better about it. Look, I think
of
course you have to empty the bucket in a game like
so
this.
So everyone has said that, Murray. All the pregame stuff that I've watched, all the like Kirchen and Verducci and all the guys on MLB Network say you got to empty the bucket today and go for it today. And I feel it's just the opposite.
Well, so this is part of the reason I wanted to see how the managers approached it, and it was hoping for a close game, and right now you got one, which is 1-1, and you're heading into the final three innings here, basically. You're in the sixth now. But then it gets hard. I mean, if it's 8-0, no problem. Piece of cake, okay. Right? Then it's exactly what you said.
But back to my original statement.
I still think it's awesome.
I like it.
Your tiebreaker is who played the quicker games, not who had a better record against like a common suck opponent like the Padres.
Time of game. Who wastes less of my time? Yes, Jimmy?
The Chicago Cubs played an average of 3 hours, 9 minutes this season.
Too long.
The Milwaukee Brewers, 3:07.
So,
Brewers are in.
Brewers win. The tiebreaker. That's both too long. Over 3 hours each in the National League is embarrassing.
Agreed.
That's a joke. But, so, look, it should be head-to-head. The Brewers lose the tiebreaker. So, you're SOL. You know what? You have 162 games, and then you have 19 head-to-head. If you can't figure it out in that time frame, then we're just going to have to figure it out for you. Because we have to get on with our lives. And the fact that they go through 162 games and 19 head-to-head and still say, let's play an extra one? Is absurd. Now, it's one thing if one team's eliminated, right? If the other team's not going to be the wild card, right, then you've got to have the play-in game.
Like, which is what the old rule was.
Right, of course. Like, that's the way, fine. Got it. Like, that makes perfect sense. And you have to have that play-in, and then that's the greatest day, you know, in sports. Sorry for 1978. But, like, you know, those are great, great days. This isn't an elimination game. This is to determine seeding.
It's a tiebreaker.
And now one team is going to burn their bullpen or burn something in a game just to determine seeding.
I know, and I love that
part. It's ridiculous.
I love that part of it.
It's ridiculous.
And when I say that's the way it was in the old rule, I mean post-wildcard era. If you were tied for the wild card in your division and you played the divisional playoff, if you lost that game, your winning percentage was then lower than the team you were tied with for the wild card, and you're out.
Is that right?
Yes. You only played one play-in game then.
Did that ever happen?
No. No. But this is part of the reason I like this, too. Because they just changed this rule 5 years ago. It hasn't happened before. And now you've got two division playoffs in the same bid.
But I just think it's silly. Like, how much baseball are we going to play? Like, I mean...
Well, meanwhile, as we head to
enough already.
Bottom of the sixth here with the game tied at one, would you say this has been a compelling theater?
I'm dying. I can't... I'm not used to the pressure. Okay, long commercial-free segment is next.
Michael Felger, Tony Maserati, Felger and Maz. Sometimes they're hot on the topic.
Janta.
Magenta?
Janta.
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 Sometimes you have to wonder if there's a gas leak in the building.
Woohoo! Whoop-de-doo!
Felger and Maz, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Warrior in victory formation on third down, again drops to the knee. And the Patriots restore order in the AFC East. The team that came in 1-2, entertaining the 3-0 Miami Dolphins, run away by a 38-7 final as the two teams come off their respective sidelines. And while Tom Brady is credited with career win number 225, it is the 300th victory for the New England Patriots under the ownership of Robert Kraft. Well, the pillars of this dynasty celebrating another win here at Gillette over Miami as the Dolphins drop their 10th in a row here in Foxborough.
You've been playing for a while. I don't think you've ever been 1-2 professionally and in college. I know you never want to lose a game going when you, but when you show up to work today, is there an extra urgency as the quarterback to win this game?
We haven't played well the last 2 weeks, and you know, we talked a lot about the things we need to do better, and we need to carry them over from week to week. So this game's great, but you got to turn the page once you learn from it, and you know, you get focused on the next game, and you build on the things you didn't do well. You understand what they did well, and some other teams are going to see that too. It's a long process. It's a long season. We've only played 4 out of the 16. Hopefully, we're a lot better in October than we were in September, and we're going to need it because we faced some good competition. You know, this was one that we really talked about and tried to get on track and got off to a fast start and played from ahead, which is, you know, most teams that play from ahead end up winning.
All right, good day for the Patriots yesterday on paper. Maz and I less than impressed. Certainly Maz. Especially on the running back. Good Lord. Rich in the truck. Go ahead. What do you got for us?
Hey, what's going on, guys? So I just want to back Maz up about Sony Michel. You know, looking back back as last year at Georgia, you know, getting almost 1,200 yards. I'm just not seeing that from him. And I'm also not seeing the first-round pick mentality, toughness, running the ball. I'm just not seeing it. I think, like you said, he's not – I'm not bashing the guy, but I think you'd see all the same results from a fourth-round, fifth-round pick, and also never waste a first-round pick on a running back.
So, look, that's my only point. I'm not telling you he sucked yesterday. He was better yesterday than he was in the Detroit game. No two ways about it. He's moving better, and he looks more confident, although I find it – I don't remember now going back – Devlin wasn't out there with him a lot in Detroit, right? So now they have a fullback leading the way for him. Maybe they're trying to simplify it for the kid. Follow the fullback and go off his hip. Okay, there you go. Fine. Make it nice and easy for him and then go from there. So, and that's all well and good. But I just think you didn't have to get that where they were in the draft. Like, I don't see something so explosive, unique, and talented there that warranted to take him at that point in the draft.
Maybe it comes. But I don't know how, if you do see that, I don't know how you saw it yesterday. You out there, Murray. Do you see that yesterday?
Well, I mean, I'm looking at some of the stats that have come since people have looked at the game. Like 66 or 67 yards came after contact from Michel. So it's not like he was wide running wide open for the whole game.
66 yards on how many carries?
25.
That volume number doesn't tell me anything.
That's why I look at it and say, you know, there were three good runs there early in the game. The touchdown run was a piece of cake. That was a walk in the park. And any back in the league could have pretty much gotten a touchdown on that play.
We showed at least three of them on TV last night that, you know, with a touchdown and then two more that for at least 30 yards where he wasn't touched until 8-10 yards down the field. So, that's that. Chris and Rainham. Go ahead, Chris.
Hey, guys. Are you guys forgetting that he's the first rookie running back to really ever start for this Patriots regime? Do you remember when Kevin Falk first started, how many fumbles he had? Maz would have had him ridden out of town 2 years into it by the time he was done.
Was Falk a first-round pick?
He was a second, I think.
No, he wasn't, but my point is that it takes time for them to develop. If he is what he is at game three, that's not what he is going to be in year number two or three. Same with Kevin, Shane Vereen, James White. They usually basically redshirt their running backs the first year.
Yeah, and
this is the first time we've ever had a running back that started this much and taken this big of a load. Do you think he's going to get better, or do you think he's just going to stay the same?
No, I think he's going to get better. But again, the guys you're talking about, we're taking in the third round.
Chris, thanks for the call.
You know, or thereabouts, right? Give or take. So this is my only point. I just think to be a guy at that position, that to me, you got to have sort of like unique, exceptional flash ability in that first round. And I mean, maybe it's there and I just haven't seen it. Murray, you watch a kid in college. I didn't. But there wasn't anything there that made me yesterday that made my jaw drop and go, whoa.
No, there was nothing jaw dropping. But again, considering how it looked last week and how tentative he looked, and granted, a lot of that had to do with the offensive line, especially on the right side. It just looked like, oh my God, they wasted a pick on this guy. And a lot of us, myself included, were a little too drastic saying he sucks. They wasted the pick. He's not going to be anything.
The other thing that bugs me, they didn't throw to him yesterday, right?
I don't think so. No.
No targets.
No.
None. So, like, I don't know. To me, in this day and age, in that league, especially in their offense.
They didn't need to.
I know.
There's no one near them.
I know. And they have White there to throw to. I get it. I like something more complete. That's all.
We're mixing Red Sox as well with your Patriots thoughts. Bill in New Hampshire, what are your Red Sox thoughts right now?
Very simply put, I kind of agree with what Murray said several weeks ago about slapping an asterisk on the Red Sox. Cora's manager of the year. He's done wonders with this team. I think this is a likable group of players. You don't have any jerks. But the bullpen continues to scare me. And if the Sox get knocked down in the ALDS, and I have to listen to Dave Dombrowski talk about channeling his inner Dan Duquette about spending more days in first place, I swear to God I'm going to lose it. This is his team to lose right now. It's not Cora. It's not the kids. It's Dombrowski. Thanks, guys.
Okay, Bill. And again, hopefully they don't do that in a loss. Like, I don't want to hear that. But just, it's annoying enough as it is to hear the amount of people, whether it's on the team or just in the media, say you've got to appreciate the 108. Like, maybe 20 years ago when you weren't winning championships, you know, then that's what we do. But, like, after all the championships and all the parades, really? Like, really? You're going to hang a President's Trophy banner? And celebrate that. I mean, that makes that blows me away.
Yeah, particularly in a year where, again, the talent was so skewed, you know, so lopsided that you had teams that had a lot and teams that had none. And so I'll tell you, when I started to appreciate the regular season was somewhere in the middle, towards the later part of the middle third. Again, where they beat the Yankees and they clearly became their division. I went, all right, it's over. I mean, they put their print on it in mid to late August. That was it. It was over. And I went, it's pretty impressive. I mean, to take a division that early in any year is good. But that was over a month ago. Like, again, once that washes away, I'm not interested in what the final total is. They dusted the field. That was good. But I don't care what the final number of wins is.
Well, it was 106-54-2, right? Yeah.
Exactly right. That's right.
since we started counting, we didn't go back. Right. And, you know, we grandfathered in certainly some fake wins, and we let them keep them. Could have been more if we really went and looked at it. It's just, I'm telling you, it's going to make it worse if you lose. It's going to make it worse. If you lose that first round, oh, God. Oh, it's going to be a bloodbath, whether it's to Oakland or New York. You know, finish 8 games out of the Yankees and lose to them in the first round? Oh, God. You can't. That can't happen. That can't happen. Or, again, the Oakland thing is, I mean, they've had a nifty little year. Okay, but look at their roster and look at their payroll and look at yours. Give me a break. You're going to lose to that? No way.
No. They should win no matter who they face in the first round.
No way.
If they get bounced again, and then you know, Dombrowski's record in the division series is something like 2-9. Yeah.
Oh. All right, we're mixing in your baseball thoughts with the Patriots calls at 617-779-0985. One open line if you want to grab it.
This is Felger and Mass on 98.5, the Sports Hub.